Thursday on the Think Big Show, where entrepreneurs and business owners come from around the world to think bigger, work smarter, and grow successful business faster through online strategies, leadership, and mindset. I'm Mia DeBolt, founder of the Think Big Network, and I'm joined here with the co-founder, my husband, mission accomplishment strategist, JT DeBolt. JT, welcome to Thursday.
Great to be with you on a Thursday, my love. And to all of our friends out there, I say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time it is for you, no matter where you might be tuning in from on the Big Blue Marble. Thanks for joining us here each and every single Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Today's topic, continuing the week of
big
productivity.
Big one.
Yeah, this one's near and dear to my heart. It's all about distractions. And the reason why this one's near and dear to my heart is because we live in the single most distracted time in history. I mean, unless you're living in a cave, I think we're all just distracted beyond all get out. And I know you've got some statistics and some studies on this.
Yeah, there's this actual study that says, on average, we're distracted every 3 minutes. And
man,
it takes 11 minutes to regain concentration. And then 40% of the time, we don't actually resume what we previously were working on. So do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
11 minutes to regain our concentration. And every 3 minutes we're distracted, that means we're constantly in a distracted mode.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, I've been pounding this drum for so long. Entrepreneurs that I've worked with and have talked to, they are so distracted. They're constantly checking their phone, constantly checking this, constantly checking that. Oh, I got to check my stats. I got to check my numbers. I got to check my metrics. And we've been talking about strategies like batching and things like that this week. But when it comes to distractions, a lot of this is a self-inflicted gunshot wound. We're shooting ourselves in the foot nonstop. And I've got my hands in the air physically right now because I have a tendency to do this to myself as well. The reality behind a distraction is that it's an escape. Typically, we are looking for an escape. We're doing something that's hard. We're doing something that's challenging. We're doing something that might be a little bit frightening. And, oh, look, shiny object. Oh, look, squirrel. You know, and now we're looking at Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or we're off, you know, checking our fantasy football stats or whatever. It doesn't even have to be anything that nefarious. Sometimes it's just simply we're not really engaged with what we're doing, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about this today, and we're going to kind of get into this. And the thing that I'd love to kind of jump right into is to give some systems and some habits that we can start putting into place right now.
Yeah. So one of the things that was a life changer for me was when I heard Darren Hardy say, you don't need to know. So this is a belief that a lot of people have. Like, I know a lot of people that are in our lives, like that are very close family members or friends, actually believe they need to know everything. So you ask them, okay, so you watch the news every night, every morning. What happened on the news? And they can maybe tell you one or two things that happened, but they just know the like negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think of all the positive stuff. I mean,
well, that's because that's pretty much all that's promoted out there, right?
Yeah, but the point is that you don't need to know. You don't need to know what's going on in ISIS. You don't need to know what's going on in the Capitol Hill. You don't need to know what's going on with your favorite celebrity. You just don't need to know. And that's so liberating when you don't need to know everybody else's lives. You can focus on your own.
Absolutely. And you know what's crazy about it is it's a learned behavior. We learn how to get sort of indoctrinated, if you will, sucked into this kind of stuff. We're indoctrinated into this idea that we have to be in the know because it's part of our basic biology. You know, back in the, you know, days when we were living in caves, we had to know everything that was going on because if we didn't, we could get left behind. And that's a very dangerous prospect. But we don't live in those days anymore. If you don't know everything that's going on, you know, in the White House, if you don't know everything that's going on in Hollywood, if you don't know everything that's going on in your favorite sports team's world, guess what? You're going to survive. You're going to do just fine. It's another thing if the hordes are out at your front door, you know, if your neighborhood's, you know, being invaded by some terrible group of people, then yeah, okay, you'll probably know it though, won't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's not like it's going to just creep up on you. It's not like carbon monoxide rather, where it just sort of seamlessly takes your life. That's the thing, is I think people are so consumed with this need to know, and it's understandable. But think about the things you really need to know. Think about the things right now that you really need to know in your business. How much time are you giving away by needing to stay connected to CNN and Fox and all these other garbage outlets? Now, all of a sudden, that time and that energy space, that airspace, that mental airspace is occupied instead of being used toward accomplishing your business mission.
That's right. And it actually reminds me of a time when I actually had a really huge fight with somebody in our family. Not you, of course,
no,
but somebody.
It's funny, though.
I went and traveled and I was visiting family, and I had this huge fight with somebody who was so adamant about my kids watching the news and being in the know. And I said, absolutely not. And I didn't actually use those words. I used a little more crass words and a little more poignant words, because my stance on that and our stance on this is that our kids don't need to know all that negative stuff, all the negative stuff that is shelled out, all the one-sided stuff that's out there that's quote-unquote news. And this person was so adamant about it and said, oh, well, you're going to be a real estate agent. So yes, I was going to be a real estate agent at the time. I thought I'd dip my toe in that. He said, oh, you're going to look ignorant. You're just going to look ignorant because you don't know what's going on in the news. And you know what? I was a real estate agent for a whole year. Didn't watch the news, and nobody called me ignorant. And I was able to actually connect with people on a different level than talking about the news.
Oh,
like,
imagine that. Yeah. So I actually get this too. They're like, well, if you're a leadership consultant, shouldn't you be following world events? And the answer is, I follow the events around my clients. Right. So if I'm going to go to an aerospace company, sure, I'm going to be paying attention to what's going on in their world, what's important to their area. Right. And yeah, that might involve world trade. It might involve, you know, how the country interacts with another country. But I will not become obsessed with it. Right. You get the general overview. The question is this: if you had to learn, here's a great example. Thanksgiving's coming up. So, or it could be anything where you're going to make a big, important meal. And it's one of those things, you got family coming in. You're going to look up the recipe, you're going to make the recipe, you're going to serve it. You do not become a subject matter expert in sugar, a subject matter expert in wheat and flour, whatever the ingredients of the cake you're making. You're not going to become a subject matter expert in all the little ingredients that you're putting into the meal. You might get a pretty good overview of what the, you know, basic nutritional value of the meal is, perhaps. But at the end of the day, you're there for that purpose. And that's kind of the way you should think about information. If you miss out on information, you're not going to be ignorant. You're not going to get lost. You're not going to be left. If somebody asks you a question, they go, did you hear what happened in the news the other day? And you say to yourself, no, I didn't hear that. They're going to go, oh gosh. And they're going to be so eager to share it with you.
Oh,
they're
gosh.
Not thinking that you're ignorant. They can't wait to tell you.
Exactly.
Which is great. I mean, listen, the whole point here is you spend less time following other people's lives so you can live your own life.
Yeah, and your success actually hinges on the willingness to miss information. So if you're out there constantly following other people, you're constantly up on current events, then you are not working on your business. You're not working in your business or on your business, and you're not moving forward, and you're not being productive.
Yesterday, I'd mentioned that we follow this online group called We Do Hard Stuff, led by Jesse Itzler. Jesse had a great quote. He said, we live life for a living. I thought that was awesome. Living life for a living was the best way of putting it. And it's impossible to live your life. It's impossible to make a living in your life, living your life, when you're consumed with other people. Oh, what did that celebrity do? Oh my gosh, I can't. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear about the drama that's going on in Hollywood or that's going on in the music world? Did you hear about, oh, so-and-so did this as an athlete. They didn't do that as an athlete. Now, all of a sudden, we're focused on them living their life instead of us living our life. And so it's really important to remember that. And it's very particular to social media. We have to be careful about who we interact with, what we interact with, what we get behind, because man, that's a bottomless pit right there.
Yeah. And really, when you get upset about a current event or about somebody's life, or I can't believe so-and-so did this to so-and-so, and you don't even know those people, when you get upset about those things, you're not focused on the things that are really important in your life that are moving your life forward. You're focused on outward things that you cannot control. Control the controllables,
mm-hmm.
and then get rid of everything else.
It's funny you say control the controllables. A lot of times the things that we don't control are the things we should be, like our own selves, or the way we think, our minds, our impulses. I remember we were actually talking about the chocolate chip cookie test past couple days ago. Well, what's funny is they did it. You've probably seen this, but there's a marshmallow test they did with little kids, probably like 5-6 years old, where they put a marshmallow in the room and they said, okay, I'm going to leave and come back. If you don't touch it, you get 2 marshmallows. If you want, you can eat it, but that's all you get. And these kids would go nuts. And the video is hilarious watching them just agonize over, should I taste it?
Yeah.
And they're like taking like a little nibble or a lick. And then the question was, did you taste it? You know, did you eat it? Did you? And some of them just popped the whole thing in their mouth. It was obvious. And then there were some that really had the endurance, the mental endurance, the discipline to say no, to have that control over their impulse. And I guess studies show, and I'm not quite sure with all the statistics, but it showed that, you know, those kids would actually grow up to be far more in control later. They weren't as, you know, addicted to things. They weren't going to fall down the path of doing, behaviors that might somehow hurt them down the road. But you know, these are important things, because when we talk about social media, you get one thing, you get the best. You get the best of the person's day. Here's a snapshot of my trip to Cabo. Here's a, oh my gosh, I just had this massive success. Oh, my wife and I are, and my husband and I are so happy. Oh, look at our kids. They're beautifully put together. They're not, and the house is not a mess. You don't see the other 23 hours and 45 minutes of their life that's a complete and utter disaster, or that's just normal life, you know, where the laundry's not done and the house isn't made and the kitchen's a mess. You don't see that, because nobody's going to promote, I feel like crap today, or I'm sad, or whatever. I guess some people do when they're kind of addicted to that too. But you know what I mean? Like, social media is kind of a lie. It's not a very good litmus test for the way life really is.
Oh yeah, it's so bad to compare yourself on social media to people's front of stages. So they're all showing you what's great and what's going on wonderful in their lives, and then their back of stages can be complete messes.
Mm-hmm.
So I say turn off all notifications. Interact with social media when you want to interact. One of the best things I did for my email management, because I mean, we both have Gmail accounts. There are thousands of emails, like mm-hmm. as if we're going to go through thousands of emails. But for some reason, we'd like to keep them. Anyway, one of the best things that I did was I created a filter in my Gmail account for Facebook. And lo and behold, I never look at my Facebook folder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Facebook sends me emails saying, oh, so-and-so updated their status picture, or updated their status, I don't ever see that stuff until I go onto Facebook and I choose to interact with Facebook.
Yeah, I think people oftentimes use, especially Facebook, but social media in general, sort of as the rule, when instead of they should use it as the tool, right?
Yes.
It's a tool. It's a great way to advertise your business in most cases. It's a great way to get your message out there. And I certainly advocate that all day, but it's not the rule. You know, you don't live your life by what you see on social media. So turn off those notifications, especially. I mean, that's the last thing in the world you need to be focused on. So like anytime when I'm doing like a webinar, or even if I'm on the phone with a client, I will turn my phone off, or I'll literally put it on airplane mode. And the times when I don't, I get bit. It seems to never fail. Sometimes I put the phone in the other room. It's just not even around me. But the whole idea is those notifications are really, you know, they're a time sucker. And like you said, you get distracted and it takes you 11 minutes to get back on track. How much of that are you willing to give away? How much of that productivity and effectiveness are you willing to give away?
And it extends now beyond the phone too, notifications too, because now most of us wear smartwatches.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I am very selective with what apps I allow to send me push notifications. So there's only a couple of things that actually ding on my phone, on my watch, that is now kind of my extension of my phone. So be very selective with what you want notified.
Exactly. And that kind of rolls nicely into the final point that we're going to make today. And that is to kind of move away from reaction and into creation. So when you get those notifications, you're now in reaction mode. You're on somebody else's agenda. They're reaching out to you. And the hope is, the intent is, the desire, in some cases, the demand is for you to get right back to them. I have sent text messages to friends, to people, coworker people that I shouldn't say coworkers, colleagues, and I won't hear back to them from them for like maybe sometimes 2 days. Do I freak? No, because I understand. But on the receiving end, they're going, okay, hey, there's a text from JT. I'll get back to him when it's appropriate. And I know that, and that's kind of that contract we have with each other. The same is not true for a lot of people, though. When you're living with high performers and working with high performers, they get that. But, all of a sudden you get that text from your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, whatever it is, or the person that's sitting there next door, and they want to know from you now. They want to hear from you now. And when you don't get back to them now, they get all offended, hurt, pissed off, and upset. Well, you have to sort of train the world. Right? The world will respond to you. And this is not being a jerk. This is not being ego. This is not being anything else. It's you defending your boundaries. And so it's important to get from that place of reaction and into the place of creation. You have a great discipline for this.
Yeah, so sometimes, when you get a text or you get that ding or you get like you want to check. I mean, even if you know you want to check and you go and check and you read it, and you don't respond, you want to respond.
That's right.
So just know that your reaction is normal. I mean, you want to respond. You want to be that person who's on Johnny on the spot, who's going and responding to everybody right away. You want to jump on Facebook and respond to that post and respond to somebody's reaction to your post and all that kind of stuff. Just realize that you want to do those things and it's okay. But how can you set better boundaries? You can set better boundaries by creating space for yourself. So turn your notifications off so you don't even get the ding until you choose to go onto Facebook. Turn off your phone, maybe just turn it onto airplane mode when you're in creation mode. Stop allowing distractions to pull you out of that concentration, pull you out of that focus that you require to move your business forward.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I think a lot of times people say, oh, I'm going to fire my boss. I'm going to be my own boss, except for the boss is in their back pocket. It's that silly phone, and it's not just in the form of social media notifications. It's text messages, it's emails. It's really everything. So to your point, you have to be willing to go to that airplane mode, turn it off, and realize the world will continue to rotate without you. I mean, if you go to sleep at night and you're sound asleep, the world keeps going, right? If somebody texts you, emailed you, or called you at that point and you were sound asleep, the phone was turned off, do you think the world would still continue? It has for the last however many billions of years. It will continue on with you, with airplane mode on. And so, that's what you got to remember.
And you have to realize that somebody else's emergency does not have to be your
That's
emergency.
right.
So check your email once or twice a day and train those people that are like, oh my gosh, my house is burning down,
Either
around
literally or
me. I'm
metaphorically.
metaphorically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those people will just have to wait. And maybe you put in an autoresponder that says, hey, I don't check my email until 12 o'clock a.m. or 12 o'clock p.m. And if this is an emergency and you're a friend of mine, just text me. And then, if they're not a friend, then they won't have your phone number
Right.
and they'll have to wait until 12 p.m.
It's funny. There was a there's a I won't say his name, but it's somebody that a lot of people know about. He's a kind of a well-known guy, and his voicemail, when you get his voicemail on his phone, it says, "Hey, this is so and so. And lately, I've been making a lot of changes in my life. Leave me a message, and if I get back to you, you're one of those changes." Or he says, "If I don't get back to you, you're one of those changes." And I think it's funny because he actually purposely keeps his phone on one ring, so it goes straight to voicemail. And his point to that is it's a filtration process. People are going to get disappointed, upset, or pissed off, whatever it is, and that's fine. And then the people that really know him, so it's a triple filtration. So if they manage to get their way all the way to his cell phone, his personal cell phone, that's how he can figure out. Because now he decides who he responds to. You might be a really important person. You might have something that's totally like world changing, or like you said, the house is burning down. He'll decide that. Isn't that awesome? And couldn't we all use a little bit of that? Now, does it seem a little bit crass, a little bit cold? Maybe. You don't have to necessarily be that hardcore. But the key here is to go from being reactionary and be in that creation mode. And that's another thing that just a small pro tip that I'll give for social media is don't be a consumer, be a provider. instead of being on there and constantly looking through the thread and constantly getting sucked into that, that you're consuming at that point. Be a provider, be a producer, be something that, you know, somebody who adds something of value, and it changes everything. So again, this war on distractions is perhaps one of the most important battles we can engage in. And it comes down to really having that discipline of knowing we don't need to know everything. And it's hard, man. That's really, to let go of that can be very difficult, but it's a challenge that I lay down, and Mia and I lay down for you right here, right now. Make sure that it's something where you say, I don't need to know everything. And if I do, I'll find it out later today when I'm not in my best mode. Spend less time following other people's lives and more time living your own, leading your own. Choose to interact on your agenda. Choose to interact with social media. Choose to interact with your email. Choose to interact with your text message. And me and I both suggest you maybe check your email twice a day at most, you know, and set those times when you check it. And if you must send, you know, an autoresponder out, so that, hey, I only check my emails between these two times, that'll give you some sort of peace. It may not change the way the rest of the world sends you emails, but at least you won't have to feel that compulsion to have to answer everybody every single time. And of course, move from that reactionary mode into that creation mode. Give yourself the opportunity to shut down, to be untouchable, to not be always reachable and accessible by everybody. The least accessible you are, and this isn't about being difficult, okay? It just means decreasing your accessibility. It elevates your value. It elevates what you're worth, because now people won't just take you for granted. You won't be a person that just gives your stuff and your time away for free. It's about being there when it's right for you so that you can be your best self always.
So good. All right, this call is a wrap. Go out and share your greatness with the world now, my friends, because now is all you have. Go and get our free 10-day bootcamp at thethinkbignetwork.com, where you can get more leads to your business through social media.
And remember, no matter what course you fly in life, fly high, fly fast, and fly far. We'll talk to you tomorrow.